Well, the Bible tells us about a number of wonderful women, mothers who served God faithfully. One great thing we see in God's Word about moms is that they teach their children to believe in God, that God is faithful. Moms are the ones that really work with the little ones, the children, to bring them up to love and respect God Almighty. And there's a number of moms mentioned in the Bible, not only mentioned, but where God shares some wonderful things about their lives and what they did. And this ranges from Eve to Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, to Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother, to even Eunice, who was the mother of Timothy, that we see one of the last books written in the Bible. The first person I want to share with you a little bit about is Sarah. Abraham is very important in the Bible. We know that he set the pace for believing God, right? It says in Romans 4:3, "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." And he is the example of believing. He was the one that helped carry on that promised seed, the line, and started the line of believers. He had a son. Who was his son's name? Isaac. Then Jacob, all right? From Jacob, from him, his name was changed to Israel, the children of Israel. So he started that line, the people of God, the children of God, children of Israel. But you know what? It takes two to tango, right? So Abraham believed God to have a son, but so Sarah also had to believe. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 in your Bible. Hebrews chapter 11. I think perhaps she even had a more challenging job of believing, because not only did she have to believe to get pregnant, being 90 years old, she had to carry that child for 9 months and then deliver it. Wow, at 90 years of age or thereabouts. So in Hebrews chapter 11 is the Hall of Fame of believers. There's many titles about that section in God's Word. Great believers by faith, all these wonderful people, and Sarah is one of them. Verse 11, "Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age." How did she do this? Because she judged him faithful who had promised. That's what it took. She got to the point in her mind that she judged God faithful who promised. God said, "You're going to have a child." And he and she, Abraham and her, literally believed God, took him at his word, God's word. So, a wonderful believer, Sarah. God identifies these wonderful mothers in his word and the importance that they play. We're all aware of the importance of the man of God, Samuel, in the Old Testament. We've got a couple books by Samuel. Starts off, he was involved, the man of God, involved with the lineage of kings, starting with Saul and then David. But who was his mother? Who was Samuel's mother? Hannah. And what was her, where was she at, her heart, before Samuel even came to being? She didn't have a child. And she went to God and asked if she could have a son that she would dedicate him to the Lord. And so she did. She believed God, Hannah did, and she named her son Samuel, which means asked of the Lord. She had prayed for his birth and the and promised God that if she was rewarded a son, she would dedicate her child to God. And she gave her son to Eli, the priest, for training. And Eli wasn't the best priest around, but that's all there was at that time. But she did her part, and the word talks about her visiting her son once a year and made a little coat or a jacket for him. But can you imagine a mother so dedicated, you know, believed God, God blessed her with a son, and then after so many years gave that son up and didn't see him except once a year for a while. Pretty dedicated lady Hannah was. Now, some people think, well, man, oh man, that poor woman, she just had this one son and it was dedicated to the Lord and that was it. But you know what? In God's word, it says that she had other children. Did you know that? She had two more sons and three daughters. So God really blessed her big time. Well, there's two very revered mothers, perhaps the most important mothers ever, and that's Mary, the mother of Jesus, and also her cousin Elizabeth, who in her old age gave birth to John the Baptist. So I want you to go to Luke chapter 1. And I want you, as we read this, to think about the depth of heart and love that these ladies had in light of the situation that confronted them. I mean, here's a young little girl, not a little girl, but she was very young, 15, 16 years old, who knows, right in that age bracket, who all of a sudden, an angel said, you're going to have a child. She didn't even know a man. And then here was another woman, an older woman, who was barren and wanted a child so bad, but she couldn't have one. And so God worked to bless both of them. So let's read this. But think about what's going on in their hearts and what's communicated here, okay? So let's start in verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, Mary, Luke 1:35, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Whew. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Pretty impossible situations, yet for God, nothing is impossible. Well, what was Mary's response to this? Verse 38, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. What a great expression of believing, right? Be it according to thy word. God says it, I believe it. That's it. And she believed that a young girl like that, that she would have seed conceived in her womb and would carry a child and give forth the Son of God. Amazing. You know, a lot of things going through her heart and mind. But isn't it neat that Elizabeth was there, that she could see, Mary could see Elizabeth, where God blessed her, she was barren, and she was pregnant too. And they could work with each other and love each other. Okay, and the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluteth Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Now, John the Baptist set the pace, was the forerunner of Jesus Christ, wasn't he? Isn't this wonderful how God worked with these wonderful ladies and these things happened? Verse 44, for lo, as soon as thy voice, we read that one, verse 45, and blessed and happy is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. For there is that great law of believing. That's the simplicity of believing. That's what it took for them to see this great miracle come to pass. Literally taking God at His word. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. God doesn't lie. You can take God at His word every time. Who taught Mary to believe? Think about that one. How could she be such a frame of mind that she could, have an angel tell her that she's going to be pregnant with the Son of God? You must have had a wonderful mother, father, that worked with her heart to believe the things of God. I mean, think about that. This is not some sterile story. We're talking about people like you and I. So she had to have a mother to help her, develop her life so that she could believe God. Pretty amazing. Well, let's go to 2 Timothy, because the last example I want to share with you is Lois and Eunice. Is that how you say her name? Eunice? And they were involved with the grandmother and mother of Timothy. Okay, Paul loved Timothy as his own son. He wasn't his natural son, but he had a great love for him and was handing him the leadership reins of the church, so to speak. So let's take a look at this in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. I thank God, whom I'm served from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, Timothy, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. That's how Timothy can be a dynamic man of God, because his grandmother was a wonderful believing woman. And her mother, his mother, was a beautiful believer. Can you see how important that is, moms? Bringing up their kids in the Word, and how that sets a heritage of believing? That's a standard? Boy, oh boy. You moms are so important. Us dads, we contribute a little bit, but you moms are just have that heart, that love, that touches the depth of the soul of a child. And that made the difference. God wanted this to be in the Word so that we could see this wonderful grandmother and wonderful mother. Because of what? Believing. Because of their unfeigned believing. Unfeigned means no false pretense, no faking it, but just solid believing. Just, you say it, I believe it. God says it, I believe it. It's in God's Word, that's it, I believe it. No false pretenses. What a heritage to pass along to the wonderful man of God, Timothy. I want to close in Proverbs here, and I want Jeannie to be able to come up and share a little bit. And go to Proverbs chapter 1. Again, I think about what it takes for family relationships, and how important it is within that family, mom and dad working with the children so that they can grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Here in Proverbs, now look at this in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. It says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, Now, here, who is he talking to? My son. Here's a father, and this is how Proverbs is put together, where he is speaking to, you know, my son. It's an expression of endearment, of depth of heart here, okay? It's used 15 times throughout Proverbs, my son, my son. And it has great depth. But what else does it say here? It says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and what? And forsake not the law of thy mother. Okay? So it's mom and dad. Mom is as important as well. Isn't that something? I thought that was pretty neat, how Proverbs, and how, what Proverbs is a book of wisdom, right? Of walking with God, great wisdom, great practical things. And also, what is the last section in Proverbs? It talks about a virtuous woman, doesn't it? Talks about a virtuous woman. The end of this book, the closing section, is on who can find a virtuous woman, which refers to a wife and a mother. If you read it, it talks about a wife and a mother in there, and how important a virtuous woman is to be a mother, to be a wife. What great qualities are expressed there. I mean, this is the standard for all women of God, be they mothers or not, to be those virtuous women. Well, we're not going to get into that. That's your homework to read that section. But I do want to have you have the opportunity to hear the word of God from a virtuous woman, my wife, Jean. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Please be seated. God bless you. That's quite an introduction. Well, we did have a wonderful vacation time of refreshment and rest. And what I wanted to share today is a rest to the soul. And Marilee's songs were very apropos, kind of summary of what I wanted to teach on. We have to keep looking at the Lord. Our life is nothing without Him. And we are little mini-me's. You know, a mini-me is a replica of someone. And we are a replica of God. Each one of us are a replica of God. When we walk into the world, we're bringing God into the world. That's how valuable each one of our lives are. And the problem is we get so caught up in the world. And I want to start with Matthew chapter 6. And it talks about what we are to seek after. And I want to, as you read in the King James, I want to read this in the Amplified, because it's got some great expression in it. But our whole purpose in life is to appreciate what God has done for us. Because in the flesh, we are absolutely nothing. And we've seen that. We can get frustrated. And you'll see that in Matthew chapter 6, the frustration of what the world puts us through. And yet, if we will accept God as our Father and how He so loves us, we will enjoy all that He has for us. Let's look in 6, we'll start in verse 24. And it says, "But no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will stand by and be devoted to the one and despise and be against the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, deceitful riches, money, possessions, or whatever you trust in. Therefore, I tell you, stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious, and worried about your life." See, this is what the world does. That's what the flesh does to you. "Stop being anxious and worried about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or about your body, what you shall put it on. Is not life greater in quality than food, and the body far above and more excellent than clothing?" Look how we are made in God's image. We have the body of Jesus Christ. We were healed, made whole from the time we accepted Jesus Christ our Lord. We are a new creation. So this body that we're trying to put lovely clothes on Is that something we need to worry about or appreciate what God has done for us? And when we appreciate what God has done for us, we have a rest in our soul, a real freedom. We can pause and enjoy life. But when we have to make this outward body look so beautiful, it can be very frustrating. And us women know that. That's why cosmetics are out there, so that we can look even more beautiful. But God tells us what we need to do, which is so awesome. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father keeps feeding them. He keeps feeding them. It's not like when everything was created, all of a sudden all the food that the birds ever needed was there. It's a continuous care that God has for his creation. And who is the greatest of his creation? Each one of us. He's continually taking care of each one of us. It's when we stop looking at him that we forget what he does for us. Continuous. Let's see. Are you not worth more than they? And who of you, by worrying and being anxious, can add one unit of measure to his stature or the span of his life? And why should you be anxious about clothes? Consider the lilies of the field and learn thoroughly how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. You know, learning is a very important thing. God wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. That means that we have to learn what God wants in our lives. And that's the word of God. In Jeremiah 15:16, it says that thy words were found and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. So if you're concerned about the food that you're eating, pick on some calories of the word of God and you'll be very blessed. You just keep continually eating, feeding. We hunger and thirst after righteousness. But as much as you acknowledge that righteousness is how much you're eating, hungering, and thirsting for it. It's pretty wonderful. And you will never be disappointed. Let's see. Where am I? This book. I'm so used to my giant print Bible, and then I have this little one that I kind of get lost here. Let's see. And yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his magnificence, excellence, dignity, and grace was not arrayed like one of these, the lilies of the field. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is alive and green, and tomorrow is tossed into the furnace, will he not much more surely clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry and be anxious, saying, what are we going to have to eat? Or what are we going to have to drink? Or what are we going to have to wear? For the Gentiles wish for and crave and diligently seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows well that you need them all. But seek, aim at, and strive after first in all his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, and then all these things taken together will be given unto you besides. So do not worry or be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have worries and anxieties of its own. Sufficient for each day is its own trouble. God has provided. See, how much do you profit in worrying? You know, and God says that be anxious about not one thing, nothing. So if he says not one thing, you got something that he missed? No, everything that God has done, it's all-inclusive. We were born again. We were complete in Christ. There's nothing more that he needs to do. It's not him that we're waiting for. It's us accepting what he's given us. It's just an incredible life. He wants us to have a light heart, to be blessed, to be peas in a pod with him. I thought that was such a great line in that song. We are. We are God's workmanship. We are precious in his sight. You know, success is not measured by how much you do in a day, but how much God is present in what you're doing. Because you can do so much more with God. I recently had the director of the school I work at say, you know, this place is really different because we've got love here. And I go, yeah. So I've been telling you for 8 years. That's why you've been prospering. Because when we take what we do, we take with us. You know, we go on vacation, we take God with us. He's the light part of the package. We've traveled much too heavy. All we need is a Bible and maybe change underwear. A few little things, but God is so important in our lives. And when we acknowledge him, our lives are light. Look at Psalm 46:10. And I just want to encourage you that that your life is so valuable, and it's all because you have God as your resource, he's your all in all. He's with you every moment of the day. And we don't have to be anxious about one thing. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God." That word still is the Hebrew word rapha. And in Exodus 15:26, God says, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." Jehovah Rapha, that same Rapha, meaning a wholeness. Be still. Realize that it's not in what you do, it's in what God has done for you. He has made you whole. He's made you complete. He's made you to be able to rest and appreciate what he's done. You know, God in the very beginning created the heavens and the earth, and he made one more day, the seventh day, after he had created everything, and he rested. And he took time to see all that he had done. And that's what we need to do, is to find a time of rest. And if you want to go traditional and go Sunday a time of rest and say, well, you know, this is my God time. But every day is our God time, because God is with us, and the more you speak in tongues, you physically acknowledge him. But it's a time to stop and appreciate all that God has done for us. And we need to do that in every day, our everyday life. Find a time. And Barney's taught about this a lot, to just find that secret place. We all have to continue to see God living in our lives. In the Good Shepherd, he talked about he led them to still waters, that peaceful, that nourishing waters that took care of them. And that's what God has. Look at Psalm 34. says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." O taste and see that the Lord is good. Stop and acknowledge. Look and see. Taste, experience what God has done for you. Receive all that God has done for you. He wants us to be so very blessed, and he wants us to be an example of him so others can be loved and be blessed. When I ministered to this woman on the ship for arthritis, I saw her later and we talked, and she says, "You know, I know God can heal me, but I look at all these children." She has some family, grandchildren that have physical healing needs. One needs a brain, a little baby that's born without part of its brain. And the family have accepted that's their burden. And she says, "Well, we have her picture on our refrigerator, and we pray for her." And she says, "But I just can't, you know. I know I have a need, but she has a greater need." I said, "Well, once you get your need met, then that's a great testimony, and that builds their encouragement." And it kind of clicked for her. Is sometimes we think, well, our need's not that great, that there's someone with greater need. But as your need gets met and you testify of that, testify and show people that God is willing to do that same for them, then you know, people will continue to get what God wants for them, wholeness. because that's what we have. So that was really great to see that. But we taste and see that the Lord is good. Get involved in what God has done for you. Accept it. Enjoy it. Stop. You know, we did some snorkeling, and this our Mexican guide had some tortillas in this little tube, and he took it out and was feeding them, and as he put the food out, they came. And when we got this food out, God's ready to enjoy, be a part of us. But the fish were just beautiful. They were everywhere, and he gave me a piece, and I was feeding them. They came right up to me. But when you get so close to what God has done, you see how magnificent everything he's done is. Each one of us, when we get close to each other, we see how precious we are. And that just glorifies God. Let's close in 1 John chapter 3. But we don't need to fret, worry, be anxious about anything. Because what God has done for us has made us complete. And when we start to see that, then we need to taste and see. Get closer look at what God has done. Get someone to encourage us. That's why we have a family. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." Behold. That word is to look at. Stop. Don't rush around. But stop. Realize. Look fervently into what God has done. He's called you his children. And we are right now his children. So look how precious each one of us are. We are children of God. And if he can clothe the lilies of the field, if he can feed the birds of the air, how precious are you? And how easy it is, because he brought the greatest substitute for our lives, Jesus Christ, and made everything that we ever needed available to us. Conquered sin, death, fear, so that we could be free, that we can enjoy what he's done for us. And let me read you the Amplified of this verse. It says, "See what an incredible quality of love the Father has given, shown, bestowed on us, that we should be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God." We are called. You know, Abraham was, his name was Abram, and God changed his name to encourage his believing in that, "I am the father of many nations." Every time he introduced himself, "I am the father of many nations." Well, introduce yourself. "I'm a son of God." And you represent God. You're a mini me. You know, you represent God to everyone that you encounter. Right now you are. And so we are. The reason that the world does not know, recognize, acknowledge us is that it does not know, recognize, and acknowledge him. But because we are on this earth, the world has an opportunity to acknowledge him. And we can rest and enjoy all that God has done for us, because we are precious in his sight, and we taste and see that the Lord is good. So God bless you.